Okay, we're going to learn Daf Pei and Masechtas Ksubos. We're going to start from the fifth line from the top. The bottom of Ayin Tes Amud Beis brought us a Mishnah that says that if the husband does any kind of investments in his wife's property, and if they get divorced, the husband is entitled to get back the costs of what he invested, unless he actually benefited from the property. If he benefited any amount from the property, then that's all he gets. If he took something out of the property, once he took it out of the property, that's what he's entitled to and nothing more. Even if it's the smallest amount, and the Gemara asks, what's the smallest amount? A dinar or a iser, which is like one coin, which is a small amount. That was the top of Pei Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara says five lines down.
It's just like way less.
So the Gemara now continues. Amar Dainev de Pumpadisa. Amri, they say, Dainev de Pumpadisa, Ovid Rav Yehuda. Amri Dainev de Pumpadisa. The Dayanim of Pumpadisa say, Ovid Rav Yehuda Ovda, the Chavilez Moiris. Rav Yehuda was even willing to accept the fact that he received the branches of the vines, meaning not even the pears of the vines. It was like the chaff, the nothing, and that was considered value. Once he considered got something, the husband received. Once he received, we're good to go. Rabbi Yehuda L'Taimei.
Who got this?
Rabbi Yehuda L'Taimei. That follows Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Ochla Orlo Shvius VeKalayim Hareze Chazaka. So very interesting. Here we're talking about if a person. Let's back up to the halacha for a moment. The halacha is that if a person is living on a field for 3 years, he's able to prove just the fact that he's there for 3 years, that shows that he really is the owner. I don't have to pull out a shtar anymore. Okay, now, what does he have to do in order to prove this? He has to eat. If I'm eating the produce of the field, that shows that I'm the owner. Now, these are all examples of things that you're not allowed to eat. So, Urla, for example, is we know that it's during the first 3 years of the first 3 years... The first 3 years of the growth of the fruit, so you're not allowed to have hana from it. So we're talking about, as Rashi said, but you are allowed to have hana from the zmeiris itself, from the vines. The vines still count, and shvius also we know that shmita and klayim, the mixture as well is going to be osir. And so, what are we talking about when we say that he had the benefit of it? We're talking about that he had the zmeiris, and that is considered a chazaka. So if we see that that's considered enough of benefiting from the produce, even getting in terms of chazaka, it's going to be considered benefiting in terms of what the husband is deemed to have received from his wife's estate, and therefore he has no right to collect any kind of reimbursement. All right, that's what the Gemara wants to say is a raya. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, Hamoitzi Hoitzos al Nichsei Ishtoi Kitano, Kimoitzi al Nichsei Acher Domi. If somebody spends money on his wife's property, but his wife is a Kitana, meaning that only her mother or her brothers married her off, that they're not really married Midaraisa. So if they're not married Midaraisa, he doesn't even know whether or not he is going to stay married, because she could do mian at any point. So we review this type of investment like anybody else who invests in somebody's property without their permission. He goes in and he sees this person needs work to be done on their property. He goes ahead and he does the work. So he's entitled to get paid back in full for his investment. Not the profits, but he gets paid back his investment in full. We don't apply this rule that if you spend $5, once you receive $5, it's as if you received everything. That's not the way we look at it. He's entitled to his full costs. Why? My timer. Of the Rabbana Takanta, the Rabbana made a special Takanta, ki hech deloy nafsadinu, so that the husband should not let the field go get lost. Meaning, because, as we said before, since we're talking about a katana, it's very easy for the husband to say, I don't care about this field, let me, you know, pull out whatever value it has right now and destroy the field so it has nothing. Because anyway, in a year from now, she's gonna do me and I'm not gonna get anything from it anyway. So I might as well take advantage now. So we say, no, don't worry about it. You're protected. You will get whatever investment you put into it. So there's always, the upside is that if you stay married to her, then you will get the profits from it. You'll have everything. And the downside is, even if you don't end up staying married, you'll at least have the minimum of the investment that you put in. You won't lose. The Gemara then continues. Okay, she had an inheritance of 400 zuz. Bechuzoi. So, but the problem was that it was Bechuzoi was in a faraway place. Ozel gavra apek shismeya, and he went ahead and it cost him 600. Let's call it dollars. Cost $600 in order for him to go and collect the money, which is more than the value of the money itself. I see Arbamea. In order to bring the $400 back, the travel cost $600. So it cost him. Bahadidaka Asi, Itzrich Le Hach Zuza. So while he was traveling, he needed to spend a dollar on his travel costs. Well, let's see what it says. Veshakol minayo, so he was short a dollar, so he took a dollar from this investment, from this cash that he was carrying for his wife. So also the kamei de Ravami. So they came to Ravami to ask whether or not he's considered having taken, because he used money for his benefit. Amalei masha hoitzi hoitzi umasha ochel ochel. He paskined that no, if he spent money, whatever he got, and that's it. He's not entitled to anything else. Now he lost all the costs. Cost him $600 just to go. So it's a $600 cost. He spent a dollar. He doesn't get. That's all he's getting back. That was Ravami's pass. Psak.
What about he only got 400 back?
So the Rabbanon said the Ravami, that would be true if he took some of the profits, some of the benefits. So now we don't count benefit, meaning any benefit is considered a benefit. Here, Hakarno Ka'achal, this guy was eating the Karen itself, which is just a loan, and therefore Vahitzahi. And so there's a machlekes in the Rishonim whether this is one answer, or this is one reason or a separate reason. And it's a haitzah. The money, the dollar that he spent, he wasn't spending the dollar so he can go get ice cream. He was spending the dollar on his travel costs. He was spending the dollar on the thing itself.
The $400.
Out of the $400 to protect the $400 itself somehow, whatever he needed. So therefore, that's not something that he took out of it. That also is considered part of the Karen itself. Imkein havalei haitzah v'loy ochal, and in that case, that's all considered haitzah. That's a cost and not something that he derived a benefit from him. Yishova kama haitzah v'yito. So therefore, he can swear how much it cost him. In this case, it would be $600. So he would be able to get reimbursed the full $600. That's not considered a benefit. So let's learn the simple pshat. The simple pshat in the Gemara is, again, it's a machlokes rishonim of exactly what the taina was. But the if you say that this, all the money that he spent was for the sake of protecting this $400 keren, so then anything he spent is still considered giving, even though he's taking money out, right? But that's considered spending to protect. That's spending. That's not considered benefit. As long as it's not benefit, then he's still considered paying money. If he's paying money, so then Anachanami, he gets to.
I'm talking about, I don't even like concede. He borrowed the money, basically.
The Gemara continues. Yishova kama hoitzav yito. So the rule is that if the husband didn't spend any money, and they get divorced right away, he's entitled to get reimbursed for anything that he spent, but he has to swear in order to confirm how much. Amar Ravasi, v'hu sheyesh shevach shvach keneged hoitzo. That, as long as there is value there to collect. Meaning, if he spends $1 million on $100 item, he's not, and then he says, well, I spent $1 million, she's not going to have to come out of pocket to pay him $1 million. He only gets reimbursed up to the value of the item itself. If the item itself is only worth $100, that's all he's going to get. Which means, by the way, in our story that we just discussed, that it cost him $600 to retrieve a $400 item, he's only going to be able to collect up to $400. Because the value of the item itself is only $400. She is not obligated to come out of pocket to reimburse him for some crazy expenditures that he did. Even if it's for the sake of the investment.
So
this is Ravasi's Yusoid. Ravasi's Yusoid is you can only get reimbursed up to the value of the item itself. You cannot require that you come out of pocket to reimburse you. L'mai hilchusah, Amar Abaya, she'im hoya shvach, yeser aloitzah, So if the value of the item is worth more than what he spent, so this is the first attempt that Abaye says. Abaye says you can even take it without a shvua. So in other words, if I spend $600 and the item is worth $1,000, I don't even have to swear because there's enough to cover. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says Imkain Asila Arume. Then people they'll just they know what the value of the item is. They'll simply just say my costs are a little bit less than what the item is, and then I'll never have to swear. I'll just be able to take whatever I want. Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says that's not really the explanation. Shem Hoisa Hoitza Yisera Lashvach. The Nafkamina is that if my costs were more than the value of itself, Ein Loi Ela Hoitza Shir Shvach Ubeshvua, that I get the value of up to the value of the item itself, and I also have to swear about that. I always have to swear. The only difference is that I only get up to the value of the item. I can never expect to get reimbursed more than the value. Okay, similar, by the way, we have this concept in Bar Mitzvah also. Remember, the Gemara before said, imagine if I go into someone else's field. I go in, okay, and I decide to build a pool in your backyard. Okay, so it's great. A pool just made the value of your house go up, let's say. Right? The pool in the back of the house makes your value go up. But if, let's say, it cost me $50,000 to build a pool and the value of your house only goes up $20,000, in Hilchus Baba Kama, in Mazik, I only have the right to take the lesser of my the value that it went up or the amount that it costs. So the same thing over here also. I can only take the lesser of the amount I spent or the value of the item itself. That's as much as he can take. But no matter what it is, he always has to swear. Okay, now, here's another very interesting, very practical case. If the husband hired workers to take a portion of the field, to work on the field and take a portion. So it was very popular in those days. Anybody who was a real landowner couldn't possibly work on their entire farm. So they used to hire people and say, okay, you work on this section and you're entitled to a third, a quarter, whatever your business deal is. You get that. So what if the husband hired workers and then he gets divorced? Adaita de Baal Nochis. Istalik le baal, istalik lehu. So now, if they get divorced, who hired you? The husband hired you. If the husband is not here anymore, so once the husband is gone, the aris is gone, and the employee, right? Who hired you? If the employer is gone, the employee is also gone, and the employee doesn't get anything. Idilma adaita da aranochis v'aruki kaimi la'arisi kaimi. Or do we say, we look at the land, listen, I'm working on this field, I'm working on this project. I don't care that my boss is no longer here. The project is still there. The land is still there. So the aris is still theoretically entitled to get paid. Those are the two potential options over here on this case. Okay. Maski Florovo, Bar Rav Chanon. So he says, I don't understand. Simple. Maishna mehiyoyri l'toich sada chaveroi v'nata shaloi b'rishos. Similar again, we keep on comparing it to this case where I go into someone else's field, and again, in my example, I build a pool in your backyard. Shaman loy v'yodav al tachtana. We evaluate and we see which one is less, which one is more, but I always get the less, but I always continue to get reimbursed. So over here also, the aris should have the expectation that he should get whatever the value is less, he should get the worst deal, but he should get something. He shouldn't get nothing. So the Gemara answers, Hasam leka inish de tarach, hacha ikabal de tarach. The Gemara says a very interesting difference. The difference is when you're dealing with a field, it's not just a random person. I gave the field to my husband. The expectation is that the husband himself should be the one who is working the field. So it shouldn't really cost me anything. You know, it's very nice that you hired somebody let's say you hired somebody to plant your garden. And it's going to cost you $100. It's a great deal. $100 to have something. That's very nice. But I would have done it myself. I wouldn't have spent $100. So that's the wife's taina over here. The wife is saying, it's true that you deserve it and so on and so forth. But I didn't have to spend this money in order to get it done. So why are you charging me? Even if the aris thinks they're entitled to it, I wouldn't have had to pay at all. So why do I have to pay? So my havayaloh. So the Gemara says, okay, what's the bottom line? Is the aris, the sharecropper, entitled to get paid? Amar Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Chazino. Let's look. E bal aris hu istalik le bal istalik lehu. If the husband himself is a worker, and he could have done it himself, and he hired, if you get rid of the husband, you get rid of the worker, and because Because she could argue that the husband himself should have been doing the work. If he's not doing the work, it's not my problem. If the husband is somebody who would never have done the work himself, so he had to hire somebody, then we hold that the oris is entitled to collect. So the Gemara gives a very practical answer. Basically, she has a good taina. If she could say, my husband should have done the work. I imagine you hire somebody to change light bulbs in your house. Right? There are companies that do that. They'll say, you know what? They know all the light bulbs kind of burn out at around the same time. They hire a company that comes in and changes the 1,000 light bulbs in the... Now, I don't have to hire somebody to change light bulbs. I could do it myself. Anybody can change light bulbs. But so if I'm the type of guy who would normally change light bulbs in a Hanami, then I don't have to pay for these guys for the guys that he hired. But if I'm not somebody who's, okay, I have 2 left hands, I can't even change a light bulb, so then in a Hanami she's going to have to pay. That's what the Gemara says. That's the bottom line. Very practical. Okay, this is an interesting one. It took me a while to figure out what exactly the Gemara's question is. You with me, Binyamin? Mm-hmm. The Gemara's question is like this. The husband knows that he doesn't own the land. It's not his. It belongs to the wife. And ultimately, if something happens to him, the field goes back to the wife. The only thing that the husband is entitled to is the benefit. So if he sells that benefit to somebody else, he's selling the futures, he's selling the stock. He's selling the stock. I don't own the company, I'm selling the dividends. That's what I'm selling. I'm selling you the rights to, I don't know how much the dividends are going to be.
He's selling the land. He's selling the rights.
He's selling the rights to the payers because he doesn't own the land.
Right.
So now, mi aminon mai dekani la'akni. Do we say on the one hand that's what he was entitled to, so that's what he could give? Sure, no problem. It doesn't have to be him. Idilma, the Gemara has a very interesting insight over here. Idilma kita kinule rabbanon peiros labal. You know why the rabbanon hold that the husband gets the peiros? Because really, midaraisa doesn't belong to him. When she dies, the husband yarshins it. But until she dies, the husband doesn't yarshin. It belongs to her. So why does the husband get anything? So now on the top of peyam abeis, the Gemara says mishum ravcha beis. It's so that there'll be profits coming into the house. So therefore, she doesn't want him selling it to anybody else, because the point is the Rabbanan, the way they structured this benefit, the point is that the husband should be bringing in an income so that he has an income to support the house. But it's not for the husband to just take it and pocket the money. He'll sell it for $10 and somebody else is taking the benefit. That's not the point of bringing in a field. So is that, or do you say no? Listen, that is the reason why the Rabbanim were misakin it, but now that's not the rule. The rule is it's his, and it's his, he could do whatever he wants. And therefore, I finish in the middle of the sentence, but to sell, he can't sell, because the point is that he has to have a constant flow of income. That's what she's bringing in. So, Yehuda Mar Bar Mereimar Mishmei Derova Omar Masha Osa Osui. Okay, so he says, if he sold it because it is his. He understands the takana. That is the reason behind the takana. But once that's the takana, then he is able.
That's
why
they can't get involved.
Now it's his. He can do whatever he wants. Rapapi. Okay. Rapapi says in the name of Rav, right, it's not Rav Pop, okay. He says in the name of Rav, lo yosef lekum, this is just the opposite. No, he says it has to stay available to bring in money, to bring in income to the house. That's what it's there for. Right, we changed the gears to Rav Papi because now we have Rav Papa. Says, Amar Rav Papa, Hod Yehuda Mar Bar Mareimar, Lav Beferish Itma Ela Mechlol Itma. The first shita that we said that he could sell it, it happens to be, I never heard him actually say that. I was involved in a story, and based on this story, that seems to be where he was going. Here's the story. Dahi Itzasa, there was this woman, Da'i Lele Lagavri Tarta Amosa, that she brought two maidservants into the house, okay? Right, you can see, because you can see this classic story. She had two, she came, fancy lady, she came with two maids. Ozel Gavra Nosavitz Lachrita, this husband went ahead to Chutzpanyak and he married somebody else. Ailu Lachodaminayu, and he gave the second maidservant to the second wife. Okay? So also Lakame de Rava. So the first wife came to Rava. Tzavcha, she started screaming at him.
I put her here.
And he said exactly, but Rava ignored her. Rava said, no, there's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing I can do for you. Lamaisa, this is part of the estate. He can do whatever he wants. Now, man dechazi sova, when you saw this story, that they were going to, somebody who saw this thought, mishum to sova masha asa asa. He thought, okay, it's because once I bring it into the household, and the husband can do whatever he wants. So that becomes the logic, that the husband can do whatever they want. The loyhi. But actually, it's not true. That's not really the halacha. Mishum rav chabesa, the really, we hold like what we said originally, that the whole purpose of what she brings into the house is to support the house, and to bring income into the house. V'halka ravcha, and over here, she is benefiting from the house. So again, There's a machlekes rishonim over here, what exactly the benefit of the house is. The simple pshat is that, well, the Gemara itself is going to ask the nafkaminas if they happen to be living together, so then it's still considered that they're, you know, that she's benefiting from it. So the hilchasa. So what's the halacha? So because we have two shitas over here. Baal shemocher karka lepeiros loy osa veloy klum. So the bottom line is that what the husband cannot sell, that the income has to, the husband cannot sell much, right? Karka loy osa veloy klum. What the husband sells is nothing. It has to stay. The property that she brings into the house has to stay available for the income to the house. My taima. Abaya Omar Chashin Hashem Tachsif. Abaya says because maybe he'll he won't take care of it, because if I'm selling it, I never know. Even the purchaser, right, doesn't know when he's going to keep it, because he's only keeping it as long as they're married. Now, when I'm involved in the marriage, I know what my status of my marriage is. But when somebody else buys it, they think, oh, I got it for a year, I got it for 2 years. It's not worth investing in. He's going to let it fall apart. The whole thing's going to deteriorate. It's going to be terrible. So it's going to get ruined. So we're not going to allow that to happen. It has to stay local. Rava Omar Mishum Rav Chavesa. Rava says, no, I want it because I want the income. You can't sell it because I want a steady flow of income. My Beinayu, what would be the difference between them? They both agree that you can't sell the property. My answer is Eka Beinayu, Ara de Makarva Lomoso. That we have land that's close to the city. So if it's close to the city, I can watch it to make sure that it's not getting destroyed. But I'm still not getting the benefit. So that would be a nafkamina. I'm not getting the benefit, but I could protect it. Inami bal orisu, or the other way around, that the husband himself could have worked it, and it didn't. There was no reason to have this expense of somebody else taking care of it. Now the husband could destroy it just like anybody else, but he could have taken care of it. I didn't have to give it away. Inami zuzi v'ka'avet bahu iska. Or a nafkamina would be, it's interesting how the Gemara calls this a nafkamina, but instead of talking about land, let's talk about if it's money itself. So money itself, I could produce more money. I can invest it in a business and I could do more money. So if the reason is because I want a constant profit, I still have the constant profit. If the reason is because somebody's going to let it get destroyed, land, if you don't, you have to take care of it. Otherwise it gets destroyed. The concept over here is we're not so worried about inflation. Money, I don't have to worry about taking care of it. So if it's a matter of taking care of it, I can give it to somebody else. I can give it to my project manager or my consultant or whatever to take care of it for me. That's not a problem. But if it's a matter of I need the money to stay close because I have to be bringing in the profits, I have to be bringing in the benefit, I can't give it to anybody else. I have to have the money readily available. So I can't give it to somebody else to take care of it or sell the potential value for it. Now we start the next Mishnah, which is a slightly different topic. Okay. Yes. One of the things that we need to discuss is what the difference between Nechsei Melog and Nechsei Tzayim Barzel is. Tzayim Barzel, just by the definition of the word, Barzel is metal. It stays. So what happens is like this. A wife comes in with a piece of property. Let's just use a car as an example. Okay? The car, when she brings the car into the marriage, is worth $15,000. So, it's metazolin. Okay, I know we should really be talking about karka, but let's talk about something that we can understand and appreciate for purposes of an example. The difference, in both cases, in Nechsei Melug and Nechsei Tzayim Barzel, I know what the value of the item is when we bring it into the marriage. But here's the major difference. By Nechsei Melug, I don't care. Let's say they get divorced 5 years later. Okay? By Nechsei Melug, I don't care what the value is when they get divorced versus what the value was when they got married. So in our example, it was worth $15,000 when they got married. It's worth $5,000 now. A car is a car. She came in with the car. She goes out with the car. That's what nechsei melug is. Mm-hmm. Nechsei melug is whatever it was. I just have to give the object back. So if it's land or a house, that's easy. I give back the house, and it doesn't matter whether it went up in value, down in value. Nechsei tzan barzel. It's metal. It stays. It stays the value. So when I bring that item into that marriage, there is a set price. Basically, the husband is guaranteeing that price.
That's how it's in the tshuva.
Right. So that's why. So when we put it into the ksuba, we say, you're bringing a car which is worth $15,000. If they get divorced 5-10 years later, he owes her a $15,000 value, even though we know, of course, it's never going to stay that value. So the Mishnah now continues. Shemeres Yavam, Shenafu Lanachasim. Okay, so here's the story. Of course, we all know what a Shemeres Yavam is, that she was married to, let's quote, we always use the example of Reuven. She was married to Reuven, Reuven died, and now she, without any children, so she has to do Yibum, and there could potentially be, to make it simple, there's just a brother Shimon. So, till now we've been discussing the simple cases of if she had the property before she got engaged, while she got engaged, after she got married. Certainly property that she obtained only after they got married, the husband certainly is entitled to that. But what about property that got to her specifically between the first husband and the second husband while she's a Shemeres Yavam, waiting to do Yibum? So there the Mishnah simply says, she could do whatever she wants. The second brother, even though she has a zika to the second brother, but she's not really attached to him in that sense, in a financial sense, and therefore she could do whatever she wants. Mesa. So here's where it gets complicated. If she dies before they had a chance to do Yibum, and she has property, who's going to yarshin her? What do you do with the ksuba? The ksuba is the nichsin tzayin barzel, those things that are going to go back to her, and the properties that go back and forth with her that are, you know, the husband was entitled to and he got to use and so on. So Beishama Yomim Yachloiku. Beishama says very simple, since everybody, meaning her family, because she wasn't married at the time, so her family wants the Yarshin, her father wants the Yarshin her. On the other hand, the husband says, yeah, but there was a Zika to me, so there, I am somewhat connected and entitled to it, I'm attached to it, you should give it to me. So Beishama says they split. Yorshe Abalim, Yorshe Ha'av. Yorshe Ha'av meaning her father. Her father's family gets a little bit. The properties stay in the chazaka of where they are. V'ksubasa b'cheskas yorshei habal, and the ksuba in this case means the nedunya, what her father had contributed to the original marriage. That goes the yorshei habal. That definitely goes to the husband's. To the husband's side, nechasim anechnasim vayoytzinim abecheskas yarsheyav, but the property like the nechsei melug and nechsei tzar barzel, those would theoretically, if they got divorced, they would go back to her. So therefore, over here also, they would go back to the father. We're not going to get into the sugya over here, but the Gemara in Yevamos went through the different shittos machlokes in the Amoraim and Tanoim. Amaroim, and therefore Rishonim, and the Gemara had to explain exactly what this Mishnah is talking about. But we'll just keep the simple pshat. We'll read the words of the Mishnah. Haniach achiv mois. Now, if the deceased brother, her original husband, had money, and now that money is going to transfer to the Yavam, yilokach behen karka, v'hu eichel peiris, the new husband should take that money and buy land, and the second husband gets to eat the pears. Why? The point is like this. What we have to know is that if he marries her, he owes her a ksuba. As we'll see in a moment, that the ksuba gets paid from the first brother's estate. So, but that first brother's estate is completely meshubed to, even if her ksuba is only worth $100, and he has $1 million worth of estate, but every part of that estate is meshubed. So the second husband, the new brother, Shimon, can't just take the money and throw it away because that money is meshubed to her ksuba. So what does he have to do? He has to buy karka. Remember, karka is the ultimate thing that's going to stick around forever. B'hu oichel peiris and the brother, but lamaisa, it's his brother's property, and now his property because he yarshins his brother by doing yibum, but so he gets the benefit of it until they get divorced. Peiris ha-tolushin, and similar to a concept that we saw earlier, peiris ha-tolushin min ha-karka yilokach ben karka. If the peiris were already detached, So they're considered belonging to the brother. So that, again, they're meshubed to the marriage, the ksuba. So the only thing you could do with it is buy land. And once again, you only get the benefits. Hamechubarim bekarka. So again, similar machlekes that we had before. Those things that are attached and that are going to come into the second marriage, they're going to become Shimon's property. Amarev Meir, Shaminoison, Kamahen Yafim Beperis, or Kamahen Yafim Beloy Peris. We look at what the difference in value of the field is with the Peris versus without the Peris. Let's say, you know, there's a $100 delta. The Hamoisu Yilokach Ben Karka, that delta again belongs to the marriage because he's bringing that into the marriage. And he has to buy Peris, Vuhoichel Peris, and he buys Karka rather, and he gets to eat the Peris, The Chachamim Maimrim, let's just see the other seat is, Chachamim Peris and Mechubarim Bekarka Shaloi. No. Anything that's considered attached when they get married, it's going to be harvested after the marriage. Those already belong to the second husband, and they're totally his, and he could do whatever he wants with them. Hatalushim and Akarka, but those things that were already detached and became part of the asset of the first brother, Kalakoydim Zachabah, and anybody can take them. What does that mean? Kadam hu zacha. If the second husband took it, he was zoicha and he gets to keep it. Kadmahi. If she took it and therefore it's meshubed to her, ksuba yilakaba and karka. So the husband is now going to, of course, he takes what his wife has. He's going to buy the karka of huaycha peris. And he's going to eat the peris from that prophet. The next part of the Mishnah says, kansa hareikisha the holdover. That if he marries her, if the Yova marries her, now they're just like a regular husband and wife. What's the only difference is, Bavad Shetei Ksuba Sa Al Nichsei Bala Harishon. The Shivat of the Ksuba, the amount that she would theoretically be entitled to collect if they get divorced or he dies, is collected from the original, from her first husband's estate, because that's who originally married her. Lo Yoimer Lo. Okay, fine. So therefore, they're regular married, and therefore, but the ksuba gets collected from the first husband. Now, based on that, the Mishnah now says, "Lo yomer lo harei ksuba seich munachas al ha-shulchan." The husband is not able to say, "Listen, your ksuba is worth $100. Here's $100. This $100 is your ksuba. Nobody's going to touch it. It's going to stay in a reserve. It'll stay in escrow forever. And now I could do whatever I want." He cannot do that. Everything is meshubah. The entire estate, as I said, even if it's $1 million, the whole $1 million is meshubah to the estate. As the Mishnah itself says, "Ela kol nechosav achrayim leksubasa." Everything is meshubah, is responsible for her ksuba. You can't set aside a certain amount. Now this is in general with a marriage. A husband can't say his wife, you can't say, okay, good, don't worry. In case we ever get divorced, I'm putting away this money and you'll be able to keep it for yourself. You cannot say that. His entire estate is meshubed to the ksuba. Therefore, girsha. Now, sorry. In this case over here, let's go back to our original case. Our original case was she was married, her husband died, she did Yibum. So she's married to the second guy. Girsha, the second husband now divorces her. Ein lo eleksuba. All she gets out of this is eleksuba. Even though until now we've been talking about everything was meshubit to her and so on, but the bottom line is she only gets her ksuba's value. She gets her $100 and that's what she gets. Hechzira, let's say the second husband decides to remarry her, which he's allowed to do. Harehi kechol hanoshim. Now she's like everybody else, the original husband's mishubodim, the ein lo ele ksuba bilvad. And she only gets her ksuba from, now, when it says ein lo ele ksuba bilvad, of course, we're gonna have a machloikis. Right? We're gonna have a machloikis over here, whether we're talking about a case that the second husband actually paid her ksuba already or not. If he didn't yet pay her ksuba, this will be an interesting case. Okay? So it'll be an interesting case if he hadn't yet paid her ksuba from the first divorce and then remarries her, whether the ksuba is still meshubed from the brother's original estate. But in the simple case is that he divorced her, he paid her ksuba, and that was all paid from the first brother's estate. Then he remarries her, now we start over again and nothing else is meshubed. Ibayilahu. Now the Gemara says like this. Shemeres yavam shemesa. Mi koivro. This is an interesting question. Who's responsible to bury her? Now, of course, we know that if a woman is married, her husband is obligated to bury her. So maybe the shemeres yavam should bury her for the same reason as the Gemara itself explains. Yoshe abal koivro law. Kaivila. Maybe the Yerushim of the husband should bury her. The Kayarsi Ksuba. Because they get her Ksuba. And as we learn, Kvura is Tachas Ksuba. The reason the husband has to bury her in general, if they were still married, was because was entitled to collect and Yarshin her Ksuba. So too over here. Since they had that reason, they're going to Yarshin the Ksuba. So they should still, they should bury her now as well. Or maybe we should say no, her parents, her family is responsible. Because they're getting back all the nichsei malug that go in and out of the marriage. They get back all those things. So both of them, there's a financial issue over here. On the one hand, one of them is getting the ksuba. On the other hand, one of them is getting the properties. So who's going to pay for the burial? Omar Rav Amram Toshmal, bring a right. The Tanya we learned in a brayso Shemeres Yavim Shemeso when she dies. So the Gemara now on Pei Aleph Amar Aleph says as follows: Yersheha Yershek Subasa Chayavim Bikfurasa. Okay, very simple. The Chazal set up that the ksuba goes to the husband, and that's why the husband is obligated to bury her. So this follows that same rule, even though right now she's in a slightly different situation because she's not married to this first husband anymore. She's married. She's a Shemeres Yavam. Still, the rule still follows the ksuba until she moves on to a different husband or into a different life. Meanwhile, as long as she's somewhat attached to this husband, the Yarshim are going to be responsible to bury her. Amar Abaya, so we'll finish with this line. Afana nami tanina, we learned to the Braisa. Amana nizaynis menichse yisaymim. Umaisi odea shalahen. If she's an almana, she gets they're supported by the yisaymim, and therefore whatever she earns goes to them. Ve'en chayavim bikfurasa. But the yarshim of the husband are not obligated to bury her. Yarshah yarshe ksubasa, but those who yarshin the ksuba chayavim bikfurasa. They are chayav. So if you get the ksuba, then you are chayev to bury her. Which kind of girl could potentially have two sets of yarshim? That's the case of our Mishnah's case, where you have a Shemeres Yavam, where she has one set of people that are yarshining her property, and you have another set of people that are yarshining her ksuba. So the kvura follows the set, the group of people that are entitled to the benefit of her ksuba. That is the nedunya. So therefore, whoever gets that is going to be responsible to bury her.
So, right, okay.
Okay, we'll stop over here.